Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make Easy EdTech integration a possibility in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books, like Tasks Before Apps, or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. Each week, I share popular content from my blog, sometimes reading a blog post aloud and adding a few things, but always trying my best to bring the content to light for you in audio format. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. A quick reminder, this month we're celebrating the book birthday for 40 Ways to Inject Creativity into Your Classroom with Adobe Spark, a book I wrote with Ben Forda, now published by Elevate Books. Head over to classtechtips.com/bookbirthday for a special free download and all of the details. It's my website, classtechtips.com/bookbirthday. This week's podcast is titled 5 Tips for Creating Infographics with Students, and I'm super excited to share this topic with you. Do you use infographics in your classroom? Student readers should be able to gather information from infographics. Student creators should be able to make one. An infographic presents information in a visual format. I featured infographics in my blog post before, like the post titled Classroom STEAM Activities with Educational Robots. You've probably come across infographics in newspaper articles or magazines too. For student consumers and student creators, infographics are an absolute must-have. They communicate information with words, numbers, and visuals. Students should be able to read this type of media, and they can make their own too. I'll include infographic examples in the show notes for this episode so you can check them out as well. In the following 5 tips for creating infographics with students this year, I mention free graphic organizers, which include a keyword search activity. I also give a shout out to Select Features in Spark Post, a fantastic graphic design tool that's free for students and I absolutely love. There are other graphic design tools that you might use. I've worked with the folks at Adobe for a while, so I usually defer to theirs because I'm super familiar with them, and I use tools like Spark Post for my own blogging and social media. But you can take the tips I'm going to share with you today to any graphic design tool or any infographic maker you might want to use with your students. Remember, you can find links to all of the resources mentioned today on the show notes for this episode at classtechtips.com/podcast. Let's dive into the tips for making infographics and a guide to using Post with students. Let's dive into the tips for making infographics with your students this year. Tip number 1 is examine exemplars. Exemplars help students understand what a product can look like when it is finished. It's more than just an example, it's something that helps set expectations for students. You might take a look at a favorite online resource, a newspaper that you go to all the time, and their online resources. Or maybe you'll search for topic-specific infographics with an advanced Google search. If you use an advanced Google search, you may want to include a file type to narrow down your options. For example, infographics are often shared with readers as PDF or JPEG files, so you can toggle in the search bar to choose one of these file types. So if you're looking for examples, going to your favorite online news source or doing an advanced Google search is one way to go about it. Another option is to go to Pinterest. There, you can search for infographic boards created by other educators. So on Pinterest, there are boards full of pins that people have collected, and some people have created boards full of infographic examples on different topics. So Pinterest is something you can use like a search engine by typing in infographic and a keyword and finding examples there. You can check out the show notes for a Pinterest link, as well as a link to a website from the folks at Kids Discover. They have some infographic examples that you might find useful. During whole class discussions, you might project the infographic that you're using as your exemplar for everyone to see. You can think about if you want students to take a look at those examples in small groups or partners too, just different ways for you to go about sharing them with your kids. Then you can print out infographics or maybe send them to a shared folder if you want students to explore them on their own or in small groups if projecting them on a whole class screen isn't the option you want to go with. So tip number one, examine exemplars with your students. Tip number two is discuss symbols. An essential component of a strong infographic are symbols or icons. These represent big ideas and should resonate with an audience as soon as they see it. Sometimes these icons become the bullets on a list of information. Other times they are next to a data point to provide some extra emphasis. You might pose questions to your students as you examine exemplars with them. For example, you might ask them, why did the creator of an infographic choose that specific icon? You might also ask them what other icons could accomplish the same goal to communicate a point, especially if you're looking at an infographic that's lacking in icons. So number two on our list of tips is to discuss symbols with your students. The next tip, number three, is brainstorm keywords. At the end of this episode, I share steps for using Adobe Spark Post, and I also describe the Noun Project's library of icons. These are accessible from within Spark Post. But of course, you might search for icons using another tool. No matter which platform you decide to use with your students, they're going to need to do a keyword search to find icons for their infographic. I have a set of free graphic organizers that include a keyword search planning page you might want to use with your students. And remember, you can access all of these resources in the show notes for this episode, classtechtips.com/podcast. So when it comes to keywords, whether you use a planning page like mine or have students brainstorm in another way, you might decide to bring the whole class together and brainstorm the search terms related to the specific topic your students are creating infographics about. Alternatively, you might ask students to work with a partner. Together, they can list words to help them find a particular type of icon. This strategy can address the frustration students might feel if they start to search for icons and don't quite know how to find that perfect symbol. It can also help them build their vocabulary around a specific topic. So for example, if your students are doing a project on the rainforest and they are gathering lots of data points and they're going to represent them in an infographic, well, they might decide that some of their keyword search terms aren't just rainforest, but they might make a list of different animals they could use or leaves or something that will go along with the data points that they are sharing. All of that could be part of their list of keywords that they brainstorm for this type of activity. So tip number three is to brainstorm keywords. Tip number four is to set a size for your infographic. As you examine exemplars with students, they'll notice lots of things. One thing they most likely will notice is that these come in different shapes and sizes. You might decide that you want students to all create a graphic of the same size. This could be because you want students to share it in a consistent way, or you might have an idea of how you're going to publish these for a wider audience. So we typically think of infographics as these long, skinny files, whether it's an image or a PDF file. That's not the best size if you're deciding to print things out later on. So if that's the case, you'll want to take that into consideration if that's how you're going to decide to share them. If you're sharing it as a file in an online space, it's totally fine for it not to be 8.5 by 11 or a size that aligns with your printer. So all things to consider with this tip number four of setting a size. Of course, you might give students more flexibility, or you can give them a few choices of sizes to pick from. It's totally up to you. In Spark Post, there is an option to choose a size as soon as you get started, but students can then resize the infographic to change the shape in the middle of their project. There's the option to create multiple sized infographics too by using the resize feature. You might even pull in a discussion here to say, look, we made this awesome infographic, but now let's turn it into a square for our school's Instagram, or let's make it a rectangle so it's easier to print out on 8.5 by 11 paper. So all things you can pull into a discussion with tip number 4 of setting a size for your infographic. The last tip is number 5. Share big or share small. Like any exciting piece of student work, you want to establish an audience. This audience might be small, just the size of your classroom. Students could post their creations in a shared space like Seesaw or Padlet. Alternatively, students could create infographics based on a data set given by a local organization. Then that organization might review student creations and post all of them on their own platform. There's no one way or right way to have students share with an audience. I talk about authentic audiences in my book, Task Before Apps, Designing Rigorous Learning in a Tech-Rich Classroom. And no matter what audience you choose, introduce it to students at the beginning of the project, because establishing an audience is an essential part of providing that relevance for students. Now that we've gone over the 5 tips for creating infographics with your students, I'll share some tips for creating infographics using the tool Spark Post. I think it's really important when we talk about these big ideas to have a concrete way of putting it into action. I always like to give a tool to put into your tool belt. And so Adobe Spark is one of the ones that I love. It's one of my go-tos. If you're a regular follower of the blog, you know I've worked with their team and love sharing the Spark tools. Next week, depending on when you're listening to this, I'll be at Adobe Max, their big industry event. So excited to come back with some more Spark suggestions for you. And Ben Forda and I also have a book titled 40 Ways to Inject Creativity into Your Classroom with Adobe Spark. And this book shares lots of lesson ideas. You can find a link in the show notes for today's episode to download those graphic organizers I mentioned, which can absolutely help you get started with Adobe Spark. So students can access Adobe Spark Post from both a web browser on a Chromebook or even a laptop. I typically use it on the Chrome browser of my MacBook. Or they can download the iOS or Android app. So there's one in the Google Play Store and there's one in the Apple Store, making it great for Android phones and Android tablets and iOS or devices like an iPad or iPhone. If students use the web version, they'll just have to choose the graphic option, because there's also Spark Video and Spark Page on the web version. The app is a standalone for Spark Post. So once they get started, students are first asked to choose a background image and a size for their infographic, both of which they can change later. Infographics typically have solid backgrounds, so you may decide to have students choose an image during the first step and delete it later to add a solid background. Or they could press the skip button at the bottom of their screen. The plus button at the top of the screen allows students to add both text and icons. This is where students can search through the Noun Project to find icons to add to their infographic. Often, infographics have different sections divided by colors or lines. If you choose the layout button in Spark, you'll be able to change the number of segments in the infographic, and you can also swap out the colors or add other pictures if you like. Once students have finished their infographic, they can share it as a link for anyone to view. Alternatively, they can download it as a JPEG, PNG, or PDF file. Again, there isn't just one way to do this. You'll want to determine how you want students to share their final creations. That will dictate the way they choose to publish their infographic. Students can download their infographic in multiple formats. This tool gives them lots of options to show off their work with a larger audience, and they can even publish it to a link if that feels better for them. I can't wait to see what you and your students create as you explore these tips for infographics. Make sure to use the hashtag CreateEDU when sharing your Spark creations this school year. Learn more about Adobe Spark on their website if you want to get started, and on the show notes, I'll have links to the pieces that I mentioned. So let's make this EdTech easy. First, show exemplars to your students and discuss observations. Then, brainstorm keywords and use graphic organizers to get planning. Then set a size and pick a tool, such as Spark Posts, to start creating. And finally, establish an audience and share student infographics. I have all of these resources ready and waiting for you at the show notes page, including a totally free set of graphic organizers. You can find the show notes for every episode at classtechtips.com/podcast. A quick reminder, this month we're celebrating the book birthday for 40 Ways to Inject Creativity into Your Classroom with Adobe Spark, a book I wrote with Ben Forda, now published by Elevate Books. Head over to classtechtips.com/bookbirthday for a special free download and all the details. It's my website, classtechtips.com/bookbirthday. See you next week with more easy EdTech tips.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech podcast wherever you're listening.